here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Welcome to Beer Money Pod. This is episode 324, The Green BM. I am the Jewish cunt head, Phil E. Buster.
I'm the Canadian cunt head, Mike Hodge. Let's do this.
Let us.
Ah, yes.
Yes, drink it in.
Indeed. How's it going?
It's going. And you, how are you?
I'm all right.
All right.
Good show.
So the weather today was 70 Fs. I don't know what that is in Cs.
Hold on.
Okay.
70 F to C. 21.1. Holy Christ.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's tremendous. In a few days, it's going to go down to 30 Fs.
That's not enough Fs.
No, it's not.
Yeah, that's negative one C's.
Yeah. I don't like bipolar weather.
Negative 1.11111.
Right.
Negative C point C C C C C.
So, yeah. Not a fan of the weather. Like, either I agree with just be consistent. Be warm or be cold. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even mind if it's cold. Just
if it's
I don't
fine.
Prefer it certainly, but just stay the fuck cold.
Right. So I know what I'm in for.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway. So yeah, that's here. How about up there? How are y'all doing?
It's currently about negative 8 C's, which is 46. Mm. Oh, no. Sorry. That's positive 8
no.
C's.
No.
Negative 8 C's. 17 degrees here.
Beauty. Sigh.
Sigh. On the weekend, it's going down to negative 17.
Oh.
Celsius's. That's
yes.
1.4 of your Fs.
Oh, man.
That is not enough Fs.
Ooh, that's, yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, for that, you can't even round up. You got to round down.
There's nothing round. Everything is pointy.
Like, I know enough math to know that. 1.4 is 1. That ain't 2.
Yes, that's true.
Oh, man, that is brutal. Well, the good thing is you're still quarantined, so you can't go anywhere anyway.
Yeah, that's what inside the house is for.
Yeah, enjoy.
Oh, I will.
All right.
So that's the weather. You want to do politics?
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We're gonna hit all of our greatest hits on this show.
What did you have for dinner?
Supper. Thank you very much.
Dinner, supper, whatever.
Right. Actually, the JS made meatloaf and it was delicious.
Oh, lovely.
Yes.
Now, is there enough left over for a meatloaf sandwich?
There is, actually.
That's my favorite part of meatloaf.
Is the meatloaf sandwich?
The meatloaf sandwich the next day, yeah.
Well, why don't you just have the sandwich in the first place?
Because that's not how it works.
But if that's your favorite part, why don't you just make that just your go-to? Like, instead of just eating it, you know, a la carte, just slap it between some bread. Right out of the oven.
No.
Okay.
Doesn't work that way.
All right. I apologize.
I would offend the chef were I to do that.
I see. I understand. We can.
It has to be eaten as a proper meal.
Wait, a sandwich is a proper meal, though.
Not when that's not the meal that was prepared for you.
I see. Okay, so any, like, deviation from the intended meal is not advised.
I feel like it would be an insult.
Okay. Well, all right, then.
If someone takes the time to make you a meal, you don't go saying, hey, you got a loaf of bread I can slap this in?
Well, what about salt and pepper? Is that an insult to the chef?
It can be.
Okay. Does it depend on the type of meal?
I think it depends how you handle the situation.
Okay.
Like if you automatically just dump a bunch of salt and pepper on the food without even tasting it?
Yes.
Then that could be considered an insult.
Okay.
If you taste the food and find that it's not spiced to your taste, or seasoned to your taste, I should say.
Seasoned, yes.
Then, yeah, by all means.
Would your chef be insulted if either one of those happened?
Not
that's a yes.
Not outwardly.
She's all outwardly. Wait a minute.
No, there's a degree of subtlety.
Not really.
It takes some getting to know.
Speaking of plugs. Find us on the Twitters at BeerMoneyPod. Send us an email, BeerMoneyPod@gmail.com. Find us on the Facebooks, Facebook.com/BeerMoneyPod. Find us on our Instagram account. Search for BeerMoneyPod. Find us on our website, BeerMoneyPod.podomatic.com. You can download all of 2021's shows.
Yes.
Possibly.
As of right now, that is absolutely the case.
All right, we'll go with it. We are on iTunes. Search for Beer Money Pod, not prayer, because, fuck those guys. Yes, a fuck. And our voice dump bitch can be reached at 269-888-3867, 269-888-DUMP. Yes, have some.
Just did, thank you.
Ooh. Beauty.
And you, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Work is work, and, everything else is honky-dory, as they like to say.
They do say honky-dory.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was thinking the other day that, like, the JS and I are blessed because we haven't really been that impacted by COVID. You know, we don't have kids, we don't have to worry about school or anything like that. Like, I was already working from home, that wasn't an issue. She's got a mile commute to her job. I know. Wait, you don't understand miles.
I thought you said mild.
No, well, it is mild. No, it is a mild commute because it's only a mile. I don't know how many KMs that is.
1 mile?
I'm thinking, yeah.
It's either like 2.4 or 2.4 kilometers is 1 mile.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, hang on. So if 5K is 3 miles, then...
1 mile, 2K. It's 1.6 kilometers.
Okay, that's her commute. So we haven't really been that put out by this, so...
Yeah, that shit is wonderful.
Not a lot has changed, is what I'm trying to say. So, when we hear all these horror stories about, people losing their houses and, people losing their jobs and just, everything going to shit. It's like, you know what? I appreciate what I have. So,
well, good.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's like, it's not ideal, but it could always be so much worse. So I'm very thankful for what we have.
Good for you.
Thank you.
I'm pissed off at the world.
Well, clearly.
But that's just regular me.
Yeah, I'm like, nothing that's got changed. Nothing to do with a virus.
No. Speaking of viruses.
Sure.
Or cancers, as they were in locker rooms.
Yes. Yes.
There was a trade.
There was.
That saw the Jets of Winnipeg.
Yep.
Took superstar left winger Patrick Laine.
Mm-hmm.
They shipped him. He's
basically, 22, maybe 23 at most?
I think he's 23.
This is exactly what you want to do with that type of talent. Just move him on. Yeah, we'll get there.
He went number two after McDavid?
Maybe?
I believe. I think it was...
Possibly?
McDavid and Laine, and then Matthews and Jack Eichel.
Can we do this for the rest of the show?
I think those
are... I thought Jack Eichel was two.
I'd rather not.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to look up the... Was it the 2018 draft?
Oh, fuck, I don't know.
2017 was Nico. 2016,
apparently.
Okay, 2016.
So Matthews went first, then Laine, and then third in that draft, Pierre-Luc Dubois. He's going to factor into this story.
Hey, how about that?
Dubois went to Columbus, and then Columbus traded him to Winnipeg for...
Hang on, can you tell me who was picked fourth after Dubois?
No, because that's not in the preview here on Google.
God damn it!
Dubois?
Yes. I was really hoping you were going to bust out this name.
Oh, it's Jesse Puljujärvi.
Oh, shit. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Who's finally having a breakout season in Edmonton.
Yes.
He was starting to look like he was going to be another Edmonton bust, but things seemed to be going well for him. So,
yeah, good for him.
Good, good. Yeah, so Laine's been bitching for a couple of years now that he doesn't like it very much in Winnipeg. Which
can you blame him?
No, I absolutely cannot. Nobody likes to play hockey in Winnipeg. Nobody likes to live in Winnipeg. It's a terrible, terrible place where it's cold all the time.
Right. As opposed to the warm and tropical climates of London.
It sometimes gets quite warm here.
Yeah, for a couple of days.
Yeah. So yeah, Laine's been bitching for a while, wanting to get out. And Dubois started bitching this year because he's just fed up with Tortorella. And I was honestly expecting for it to go the other way, where they were going to fire Tortorella, because he's basically, I mean, he's hit that point, like the Mike Keenan wall, where you get 3 to 5 years out of that type of coach, and then you just got to get rid of him because the players shut down. They stop responding.
Right.
Also, Laine's a right wing, not a left wing.
That's pertinent. Yeah. In no yes. way.
So yeah, there was talk that they were just going to do like basically a star for star swap, and it made none of the sense to me, because you're taking disgruntled superstar and disgruntled superstar and just swapping their positions, and you're not solving any, but that's what they did.
Yeah.
And I think Winnipeg retained a little bit of salary to even out the cap hit, but there were a couple of other pieces, but I mean, that's the trade. It's Laine for Dubois, and it makes no sense.
And no, Columbus pretty much wore a mask, as they are wont to do, as they should be doing during these times, because not only are they practicing safe social distancing, they fucking robbed Winnipeg.
You think?
Yes. Laine is a fucking game changer. If they can sign him...
Well, that's the thing. He's an RFA, so if he doesn't resign, which he has not done yet, he walks after this year.
Right.
Dubois at least has, I think, a couple of years left on his contract, or they might have extended him for 3. I don't remember the details.
Literally no way of knowing.
No. I wouldn't look things up while we're on the air. That would be rude.
No, of course not.
But yeah, I don't see Laine re-signing. I don't know why he would.
Well,
would you go to Columbus and decide to stay there when having just left Winnipeg?
Yeah, pretty much. Columbus is pretty much the Winnipeg of the States, so you're not wrong on that. But if you leave Winnipeg, anywhere you go is automatically a better place.
Yeah, but if you're facing free agency at the end of the year and have the prospect of going to a legitimate hockey market,
yep,
where you can be the centerpiece, where they understand how to build a team. And then, right. I mean, you've got a chance to win championships.
Yes.
In a place that cares about hockey. Why would you stay in Columbus?
To that point, why would you want to leave Winnipeg then? Like, aside from it being Winnipeg, they have a very good team. But they have a very good nucleus, though.
They do, but nobody wants to stay there. People keep leaving because they hate it there.
Fair enough. I do wonder, though, the financial aspect of COVID and the fact that the owners are not bringing in any revenue, I don't think Laine is going to get the contract he thinks he deserves or that he actually does deserve. He might have to settle for a 1-year deal somewhere, and it might just be Columbus, just because.
I don't know. I think he's going to be, without looking at the list of pending UFAs, I would imagine he's going to be at the top of the class.
I would imagine so. I mean, without looking at the list.
Who else is going to be available that's going to top him?
2021 NHL free agents.
Also, Dubois signed a 2-year extension in December.
No shit.
So, Winnipeg's got him for a couple of years.
Okay, so the... Oh, wow. This can't be right. No, this isn't right. That's just silly. Well... Okay, so it's basically between Laine and Hall, because Hall signed the 1-year deal with the Buffaloes.
Right. So if you've got the choice between those two guys, who are you signing to an 8-year or 7-year deal?
Well, I mean, just because of age, I'm going to go with Laine. I mean, Hall's almost 30.
Yep. Yeah, so Hall's looking to sign probably like a 3 or 4-year deal.
to bridge him to his last contract. And Line A is like, just give me all the money and all the term right now.
Yes. Yes.
So he's going to want to hunker in with a legitimate team, like a fucking New York Rangers or like Chicago is going to be looking to turn over some talent.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to want to hunker.
Indeed.
Line A is 23.
There you go.
And Hall is 29. So yeah, I'm going to go with the 23-year-old.
Sure. Not even a sigh on that one.
No. 23 is good.
I mean, it's a disapproving look, but not a sigh.
It's a disapproving look, the fact that you're talking about somebody almost half your age.
Yeah, that's still really, really...
Oh, yeah, no, but it's still legal.
Mm. It sure is.
All right.
Speaking of legal...
Yes. What?
I don't know what our next point is. There's one other thing to add here, but we've got...
Here it is. This is what I would add. Uh-huh. Would Line A stay if Torts is fired? If he gets to pretty much run the show?
I don't think he would.
Okay.
I certainly wouldn't, given the history of that franchise.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you are Columbus, clearly you are.
Yeah.
Would you flip Line A to somebody and restock your farm system?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, the last thing they want to do is let him walk. And I don't think... I really think that if you sign Patrick Laine in Columbus, you're looking at a maximum of 2 years before he starts complaining again.
He's not
a small market guy who's going to play on a bad team.
No, but he is a small market guy who wants big market money. That's the problem, though.
No, I think he's legitimately a big market guy. I think he should be playing for a marquee team.
See, that's the thing, though.
What about the Kings? He could play for the Kings.
Yeah, he probably could. I'm not sure what their cap room is like, but it's got to be better than the Rangers.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Yeah, get him. Just put him in the West. That's fine. I don't want him anywhere near the Mass Mutual teams. Fucking ship his ass off to the Hondas.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I just really don't see him being happy in Columbus because Columbus is a bad franchise. And they're not going to get any better. They mismanage their roster. They mismanage their money. They're not good at hockey.
That's very true. This is the team that had Rick Nash and then...
And he stuck it out there for a long time.
And Bob.
He gave them a chance. Yeah. I mean, they've had one good year in franchise history.
Yep.
And that was very recent. And then Bobrovsky walked and Panarin walked.
That's right, Panarin too.
Because people don't want to be there.
Yeah. All right.
And that's, going back to my original point on this, the trade makes absolutely no sense.
No, but I mean, also, like you said, you were talking about two cancers who pretty much traded for each other. So, fuck it, he's your problem now.
Yeah. I'll trade you my colon cancer for your lung cancer.
Yes. It's a shitty deal.
It is. I was going to add the thing about Pittsburgh's GM. The fuck is his name?
Oh, that's right. Rutherford?
Yeah, he walked.
He did.
And I haven't been able to suss out why.
Because he's going to be the GM of Team Canada.
Probably, but you can do both.
Oh.
You don't walk away from an NHL job to coach an Olympic team.
Oh, you don't?
You really don't. It's never been done. This would be setting precedent. He left for personal reasons pretty abruptly.
Yes.
And then no scandal broke.
No.
Unlike
Arizona.
Right. And no illness was announced. So,
right.
I don't know what has happened here, but Pittsburgh is still hunting for a new GM. Can I interest them in a Pierre Maguire?
Oh, that's tremendous. Oh, speaking of GMs that are no longer with their teams, remember the guy in Arizona?
Chaykin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was an update to that.
I'd like to hear that.
He was suspended by the NHL through the end of this year.
Oh, this was for tampering.
Yes.
Combine tampering, yeah.
Yep. And then this is where it gets a little dicey because I thought he quit. the ruling that was handed down by Bettman, ass, said that he was terminated by the club.
I thought he'd quit, too.
Right?
Or, I mean, been given the opportunity to resign.
Yeah.
Which looks better on a resume, I guess.
It does. I can speak from experience.
Right.
Normally, you can't put on a resume like, well, I'm not working there anymore, but they did wish me well in my future endeavors. Right. Hopefully, this is it.
Yeah. Please do not look into this situation any further. You don't happen to have any social media accounts, do you?
You know anybody named Demko?
Thatcher? The one true Demko. OTD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, also, Nathan MacKinnon is out. It's a knee.
Yes, he is.
It's,
yes.
Yeah. The severity is as yet unknown.
No, all I saw that is that it's week to week, which is not a good diagnosis.
It's not, but...
But...
There is good news in all this. COVID.
Yeah? Yes. Fantastic.
Just announced, like, an hour ago, along with Vegas, the new Sweaters, and the Sabres all being shut down due to COVID, the Minnesota Wilds are now out of action until at least February 9th.
Mm, yes.
Due to COVID. And the Avs are slated to play them. So they get some rest.
They sure do.
And, I mean, you've brought this up. You did bring this up before the season. You have brought it up since. 56 games is too many games in a season like this where a team can just be shut down for 2 weeks or a week or however long they get shut down for.
In fact, I think I brought it up last night.
I believe you did.
I did. Yeah, I appreciate the 56 game effort. Way too aggressive.
Yeah, should have been 41.
Yep.
Just make it a straight true half season.
Half. Right. Wait, are we sure 41 is one half of 82?
Relatively sure. I'm as sure as I can be.
Okay. We'll go with that.
And, I mean, I guess the end dates might still be flexible. Like, if they run into too many problems, they might still be able to push it. Like, push the start of the playoffs, push the cup final and the whole thing.
Right.
But there has to be some sort of a, I don't want to say a drop dead date, but some, there has to be a limit reached where they say, okay, we just can't. If we
especially
push it, this, then it's next season and the next season and the next season.
Well, that's the thing. Like if you're fixing to get things back on a regular October start,
which they were aggressively trying to do. Yeah.
Yeah. You really need to get the playoffs done by, I mean, I'll give them the end of June.
Yeah. And I think the current plan has them going slightly into July, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Which is absolutely ridiculous.
It's not ideal.
Because as a current season goes, like, they're playing in the cup finals in the middle of June. It's already way too late.
Yeah.
Now they're pushing that back another couple of weeks. It's too much.
Yeah, and then assuming everything clears up and COVID is solved and they can get back to regular hockey with full training camps and the whole thing, you're looking at ending the cups or the cup final in July. And then starting up again in September. And that's not a lot of a break, but...
No, that's...
We're talking about pushing the season even further because of all these delayed games. Then you're just getting closer and closer to the start of training camps next year. And, like, at some point, you're just basically rolling this season into next season. And the guys don't
right.
get a break at all.
Right.
And as much as they had time off last season, like, from March to whatever it was, October, I guess. No, it wasn't October.
They started playing, what, was it October? Or was it November? Oh, fuck it, I don't know.
I can't keep it straight.
I really can't.
There was that lapse where they had, like, they were off from March to whatever.
Let's just say 3 months.
But that wasn't really a break, because it wasn't, okay, go about your, like, off-season routine.
It's pretty much, we're going to put you in a holding pattern. We'll let you know when you're coming back.
Right, yeah. So there hasn't...
Except for you, Devils, Sharks, Wings, and Kings.
Yeah.
But there hasn't truly been an off season since the end of the 2019-2020 season.
Yes.
Or the 2018-2019.
No, 2018-2019
season. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not by any means sort of feeling too bad for these guys because they're professional athletes and make a lot of money, but it's also their jobs and their lives, and to ask them to jump through hoops and perform, yeah, it's what they're getting paid for, but they also, part of the deal is them being able to take care of themselves to be able to perform.
Yeah, but virus aside, and I know that's a really silly thing to say, they're pretty much jumping through hoops regardless or irregardless.
But they're doing it on schedule and with certainty. Okay.
There's no certainty.
But there's a degree of certainty. If you've got your routine set up and you know, this is, your routine. This has thrown all of that into flux so that they don't know where they're going to be or when they're going to be doing it.
And that was what I was talking about with the whole COVID thing earlier. I thrive on, routines and consistency and things like that. Mm-hmm. If any of that is thrown off, I'm fucked. And luckily that hasn't really happened that much. So I can't even fathom what they're doing.
Yeah.
Another COVID question for you. Actually, I got two of them. First one is, what is the minimum amount of affected players that would require, we're just not going to play. We're going to stop everything for a week.
Shut down the whole league?
No, shut down the organization, pretty much. One team? No practices. Yeah.
For Minnesota, it was apparently 5.
Does that not seem rash?
No.
Not
at all.
That's why you have it's why you have a taxi squad, though. Is it not?
But you have to look at, if it's one person who had minimal exposure to other people, then you can sort of separate that problem from the group. If it's 5 players who are just in among the group, you've got potentially an entire infected team. And then you take that entire infected team and put them on the ice with another team.
But even if it's one person, you're still running the risk of everybody being eventually infected. So that's
in my opinion, it should be one case constitutes an outbreak and you shut it down.
That's what I'm wondering. What is the cutoff? If it's one player, it's fine. If it's 4 players, if you're the Capitals, that's fine too. You're just going to suspend the players and you're going to go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
If it's 5, like the Wilds, you're like, nope, can't do it. And then if you're the New Sweaters, it's 14. And you're like, well, no, not tonight, boys. I get it. If it's an actual outbreak, an organizational outbreak, I get it.
Yeah.
For the New Sweaters. But if we're talking about one player or 2 players, where do you draw the line of what do you soldier on with and then what do you just shut everything down for?
Yeah, and I think you really do have to take it as a case by case and assess who the player is and who they've been exposed to.
And I guess that's another part of my question is, does the NHL mandate any of that, or is that just up to the team?
Probably to a degree they do.
Okay. And there's another question for you. If a team misses too many games, if you're the NHL, when do you say, you know what, we're just going to have you forfeit these games?
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, because at some point, some team is going to miss, whatever the cutoff is, or have delayed. Now you've had 10 games postponed or 15 games postponed.
Right, we're talking about 10 or 15 out of 56. That's got to be 70% or so.
Yeah,
right?
That's a lot.
Right, so, I don't know if you can make up that kind of schedule.
Apparently 22 postponed games so far this season.
Okay. Do you think it's fair that the NHL would float that idea? I mean, I know this is something that they would have to agree upon before they even resumed play, but
just to completely shut down one team?
No, not just shut down one team, but just to forfeit the games.
Well, that's essentially shutting down that team.
Well, I mean, forfeiting the
15 games and expect to compete in a 56 game season.
Why not?
Well, because you basically have to win the rest of your games to compete.
Oh, okay. then get on the ice and win.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there comes a point where, like, you know what? This sucks that there's an outbreak, but, you know, the other teams shouldn't have to also be penalized. They didn't do anything, quote-unquote, wrong.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to
do. Yeah, what a freak show.
But, I mean, we kind of knew this going in, that there were going to be a ton of unknowns.
I didn't think there was going to be a fucking 14-person outbreak.
I don't know why you didn't think that.
14? Like, I figured maybe, okay, you know, a guy or two, but Jesus Christ. I mean, fucking social distance or something. Wear your masks. And that's the thing. Like, you watch these games, and, like, nobody cares.
What, about the protocols? About social... Game?
Yes.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, it's inevitable that there are going to be these types of outbreaks.
And apparently Buffalo's pretty pissed off at New Sweater.
Well, the interesting thing is that it was Taylor Hall who got it. So I'm curious from which New Sweater he was hanging with and then wound up infecting the locker room.
Right. But I guess New Sweater knew they had a case and just went ahead and played anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Which is...
Yeah, they played it back-to-back.
That's problematic.
Yeah, it is. It's all problematic.
Yeah, the whole
thing. Why should this be any different?
The whole thing.
Yeah.
Also on the COVID front, the NWHL, the fledgling women's league, has shut down completely.
Yes. Well, like for good or just this year or what?
They shut down the season, but
okay.
I don't know that they recover.
I mean, how do you lose revenue if you didn't have any to begin with?
How do you get anyone to back you if you don't even make it through one season?
There's that too.
I think it was a mistake to launch it now.
Yeah, you think?
I think maybe you hold off. I mean, it's great that you had a plan to put it in place now and everything was ready to go, but you got to pivot. Now's not the time.
Well, just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
They
were playing all their games in Lake Placid.
Oh, lovely area.
And yeah, I've been there. It's quite nice. Apparently, they were doing it under bubble-like conditions, but not a strict bubble.
Which what's meant bubble-like?
There were supposed to be restrictions, but they were not adhered to.
So, I mean,
they had outbreaks and shut it down.
I didn't know there were varying degrees of bubble life. I figured that you're in it or you're not.
Bubble adjacent.
I see.
So, yeah.
Well, okay then.
Yeah. So that's that. That's hockey. I haven't been watching much because the app's not working for me.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned that to me twice.
Yeah.
It's quite unfortunate.
Isn't it, though?
Yeah, it is.
Fuck. I forgot to set my fantasy lineup today.
Ah. There was a time where the Beer Money logos were bookending the standings. Did you notice that?
No.
Yeah, that went away quickly.
In what direction did that go away?
You are no longer in first. I'm still in last.
I lost.
But you are not in first. Oh, there you go. That'll do it.
Yeah, but I got GP3 this week, so.
Oh, there you go. Beauty. Congrats.
Yes. The Ottawa Senators of our league.
We, yes. looking back on this, we probably just should have done a regular rotisserie setup instead of week to week. Because with these outbreaks, I mean, you're absolutely fucked if you're depending on a couple of players from Team A or Team B.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, what have I got? I've got a bunch of Edmonton guys, a couple of Tampas. I got three guys from Tampa on my team.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's shit. I mean, you lose that for a week, whatever, your week is dead.
Yeah.
You got nothing. Yeah, so that's hockey.
It is.
It is. We have an email.
We do.
We do.
Oh, we have two
emails. I'll read it. Do we?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, they are just placed in different areas in the rundown. I apologize.
I'll read the other one.
Okay, that means I read this one.
Okay.
This is from Chris Colantonio.
We should probably read them at different times.
I see, yes. You don't want to trade off? I mean, that's fine.
You go ahead with this one. I'll read the other one later.
Okay. You Not just later. Let's just actually specify when that is.
Later after in this very show.
After this email, after the other topics, and then we'll get to the other email.
Yes.
Okay. This is called Expansion Draft Game. He writes, "Hi, guys."
Hi.
Hi.
"I had an idea for some interaction with the movement in regards to the upcoming expansion draft. What I'm not sure of is if you'll want to do this now and then potentially again after the season is over, or if we just pocket this until after the season. I'm really interested in what the fans of the movement think about the upcoming expansion draft and who they want their team to protect and who they think is at risk of becoming an initial member of the Seattle Kraken. From what I'm gathering, the expansion rules are essentially that each team can protect 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, and 1 goalie, or if they need to protect more defensemen, could opt to protect 8 total skaters and 1 goalie. Any first or second year player is exempt from being picked. Any player who has a no movement clause in their contract must be protected unless you can convince them to waive it. I've already started jotting down some thoughts for Colorado, and I'm already nervous about which players will end up being exposed. Later, Cole."
Later, Cole.
Later, Cole. "Great idea. I think we will kind of put this to the side."
Yeah, remind us. It's a good idea.
It's a fantastic idea.
But it's definitely one of those ones that's going to take some thinking on.
Yeah. Yes. We obviously need months and months to prepare for this. Also, you don't know who's going to be on your team, you know, come June or July.
Right. Yeah. We got to make it through the trade deadline and free agency and whatnot.
Yep.
But pardon me. Yeah. I don't think we're expecting anyone to come up with a full expansion draft. Please, God, don't send us that.
JD.
Yeah. Or anybody else, JD. But... But yeah, like if people want to look at their own teams and suss out who they think might be on the move, interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
I do. I'm also curious, and if anyone wants to go down this route, who is going to be the Kraken's Flurry? Who's going to be their number one goalie?
Yes.
Okay.
Corey Crawford. No.
No. Highly unlikely.
Henrik Lundqvist in his triumphant return.
It's a very nice story, but it's not happening.
No, it's not happening. He's done.
He is done.
He posted a thing on the social mediums today about he's doing very well and his health is good and he wasn't expecting to be doing this well after like 4 or 5 weeks of recovery, but he's up and walking around. Like he was filming himself walking on a street.
Could you do that?
No, I would trip.
Yes.
I'm glad that he's doing okay. It's a shame that we'll never see him play hockey again, and a real shame that he never won a cup. But, I mean, a Hall of Famer.
Is it a shame that he never won a cup?
I think it is.
Is it? I mean, they were in a position to win. They couldn't get it done. It's not like he was on shitty teams for 15 years.
No, but still, a shame that he didn't get to win a cup.
Okay.
I mean, you could have said the same of Ray Bourque until he went to Boston, until he went to Colorado.
I'll just edit that out. It'll be clean. You'll never notice.
Yes.
Thank you, Cole, for that.
Yes, thank.
Then what happens?
We got some voice dumps.
We do. You want to do them in the order you got them here?
Sure.
Oh, it's a good order.
It's a great order.
All right, back to Cole then.
Hey guys, it's your boy Cole. Just wanted to start maybe a recurring segment where we look at the Mikey curse watch now that he has cursed my beloved Colorado Avalanche. We're a week into the season, and I'm very hopeful that this can be the team that breaks Mikey's curse. I knew that bastard was going to do it. I've known it for a few months. Not that he told me. I just want to make sure there's no collusion here. I just, based on some of his tweets during the playoffs, it seemed like he was gushing a little bit over MacKinnon. And, of course, why wouldn't you gush over MacKinnon and some of the other young studs on the team? I just had that sneaking suspicion. So Are we cursed? I don't know. We'll see. We're a few weeks into the season. Team's 5-3, tied for second, 1 point behind the leaders, Vegas. But they've played well in 7 out of the 8 games. You know, they came out completely flat in game one and got wiped by the St. Louis Blues. And then they've basically been the best team on the ice for 7 games in a row. On the road in California, they had a couple of games where they dropped, but even then, they hit multiple posts. You could tell that they were just the superior team, but they let the inferior team hang around and steal the points. You know, the upcoming 4 games are going to be pretty important. They're against the Wild, 2 in Minnesota, and then 2 back in Denver. The Wild are also 5-3, so tied for second. So I think this early matchup, though, is really going to determine, are the Wild the legit 4th team in the West? I'm probably wrong about it being the Sharks, but maybe it's the Wild, and we'll kind of learn a little bit over the next 4 games. Solly made a comment about one little hitch with the Avalanche. I'm actually curious about what he means. In my opinion, the one little hitch is injuries. Last year, they lost Grubauer and their backup, Francouz, in the playoffs. And even though the third string goalie actually played really good, I don't think goaltending cost them. But they also lost their defensive leader, Eric Johnson. They lost a couple of other guys as well. They were just really depleted, and you can tell. And early in the season, Frankie, their backup goalie, has been out all year, although Grubauer's just played every game other than back-to-backs. It does look like they might have just lost P.E. Belmar to a really bad knee injury last night. Hoping everything's good, but, no injuries to the real major players yet, but some of those minor injuries are starting to creep up. Mikey also predicted that Kale would be in line for a Norris. I'm going to try really hard to keep these to one phone call going forward, but this being the first one, kind of had a lot to talk about. Mikey had predicted that Kale was going to be a candidate for the Norris, and it seems like at least in early lists that he's definitely up there. Him and fellow Calder Trophy finalist Quinn Hughes, I believe, are 1-2 right now in defenseman scoring. But it's not just Kale McCarr. Devin Toth and Sam Girard are all playing like they could be number one defensemen. And then they've got a 19-year-old Bo Byram that's skating around. He looks like Kale McCarr on the ice. I mean, he can skate like Kale. He can make all the passes, and so far he's not making kind of dumb rookie mistakes on defense that you'd expect. He looks legit. Right now, he hasn't quite found the back of the net like Kale was in his rookie year, and he hasn't quite finished off some of those assists, but the eye test is very good for Bo Byram. So, 4 very young defensemen that are all on this team. They also have Ryan Graves, who's a young defenseman who led the league last year in plus minus. He's off to a slow start this year, but overall, very young, talented core on the blue line for the Colorado Avalanche. So it's very early. I would say that, if we're cursed at all, it's that we keep clanging iron and not putting some of these teams away. But at 5-3, and especially playing well more games than not, I'm optimistic that we're going to break the curse.
Hey, it's Cole.
Giving you an update on Mikey Watch right before you're about to record. And again, they've played 3 games against Minnesota Wild. They said it'd be an important series. They've got 2 wins and an overtime loss. They got 5 points out of a possible 6. They got 1 more tomorrow. The team's playing great. So as far as Mikey curse just making the team's skill level evaporate, that's not happening. But we alluded to what their Achilles heel was last year, and it's injuries. That's where we need to really watch the Mikey curse. And, man, 2 games ago, Nathan MacKinnon out. Now, they managed to win a 2-1 game without Nathan MacKinnon, but, I mean, without him, he's arguably the best player on the planet. You know, really, Connor McDavid might be the only other person in the argument. And an extended period of time without Nate is something I don't want to see. Now, the good news is I'm hearing it's probably more like day-to-day. He's going to miss maybe a week. That's my hope. But it's not just Nathan MacKinnon. The backup goalie, Pavel Francouz, still hasn't played in a game this year. Now, Hunter Miska's been very good, but something to keep an eye on. And speaking of goalies, Philip Grubauer has best goals against average in the league by almost a quarter point, something to keep an eye on. But their spiritual leader in defense, helping the young kids, Eric Johnson, it looks like he might have broke his arm to me. Big injuries to P.E. Belmar and also Devon Taves, who's been one of the best defensemen, took a puck off the skate. They're saying that one might not be that long, too, so fingers crossed for me as a fan, and that's what we're really watching is these injuries. Can the team overcome the injuries, and can they stop getting injured?
So, he has a question for you.
Yes.
In amongst all of this about your one little hitch for the Avs.
Yes.
Do you know what that hitch was?
The one little hitch was the Mikey jinx, or the Mikey curse, whatever we want to call it.
Right.
That was it. And, yeah, I mean, like fucking clockwork. McKinnon's out week to week. I don't want to laugh at it, but you need to recognize that this thing is real.
Yeah, but...
What is Cole said, the one thing he was worried about was injury.
Yeah.
What happens? The one guy they can't lose, they lost.
Well, and he addresses this later in his third voice tone. Did you not get the one that he just sent today?
I did.
Okay. And Belmar's out, which is going to hurt them. He's a former Flyer great. Speaking of expansion drafts, he went to Vegas.
Oh, there you go.
But like a really, really, like a top level fourth line guy. If that makes sense.
You know, if your team is deep enough, yes.
Of your that fourth line make players, sense. He's an upper echelon.
He's one of them.
Yeah. So they'll definitely miss him, but they're winning. They're winning
yes.
without MacKinnon. They're winning without Belmar. And like we mentioned earlier, they've now got this little break thanks to Minnesota.
Yep.
So, I don't know.
Even with that said, though, MacKinnon is listed as week to week, which is not promising. It's just not.
Right.
You don't heal up quicker when it's that kind of diagnosis.
No, but you miss fewer games when they're being postponed.
Yes. So hopefully for the Lanch, they'll be missing a lot of them.
Yeah. I don't know which way I want this to go. Like, I like the Mikey curse.
I think it's well, you don't have to like it, but you have to respect it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't want to fuck with it, that's for sure.
Right. But the last time we did, we had a goddamn pandemic.
Yeah. This Avs team is so much fun.
That's the thing. Like, can you just... Mikey, can you just, like, say the Blues will win again or something? Like, or the Bruins?
Yeah,
the
Bruins would
be great. Do you have to... Yeah. I mean, do you need to do the Sharkies or the Knigets or the Lanch? Like, these are fun teams to watch. No. And you're fucking torpedoed all of them.
If Colorado wins the Cup this year...
Yes.
I will give you a 100% guarantee that next year's song is about Carolina.
Reverse the curse?
Yeah. No. Once the curse is reversed, then it's safe to go that way.
Not just that, but he's probably working on the Carolina song right now. And if it's not James Taylor, I will eat my hat.
All right. You heard it here first. So thank you, Cole, for that.
Yes, thanks. Is
there anything else we need to... Oh, he also talked about... their defensive core being young and talented, which helps.
It does. Yes. Makar is a fucking beast.
He really is.
We saw that in the postseason last year. He's great.
A couple of highlights I've seen of him this week where he's just making people look silly.
Yep.
Like he looks like a highly skilled forward out there.
Yeah. That's almost unfair what he's doing.
Yeah. And he's not a defensive liability.
No.
Like a Gostisbehere
in his first couple of seasons, and especially the rookie year, he was just phenomenal on offense, but terrible on defense.
Which is not ideal for your defenseman.
It's really not.
I don't know a lot about hockey, but I know that much.
Yep, yep, yep. And these days, he's a healthy scratch more often than not.
How they fall.
Yes.
And you were talking about fucking Ghost being a staple of that team for years.
It's the way it looked. It looked like they were going to bring him up as being like the offensive defenseman, and Provorov was going to be the defensive defenseman. And then Provorov just sort of developed into this monster of a man where he's knocking people over and scoring goals and on the back check, and he's all over the ice.
Yep.
He's probably the best player on that team right now.
Yeah, I mean, either him or Konechny, but I mean, probably Provorov.
Konechny got sat down.
Really?
Yeah, he was a healthy scratch this week.
No shit. He was like the one consistent scoring threat. No way.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I didn't see what it was for. It was probably a disciplinary thing.
And Elliott is still outplaying Carter, is he not? I mean, statistically, he is.
Statistically, yeah. I would
this
still,
fucking season. This is nuts.
100% of the time, I will take a Carter Hart loss over a Brian Elliott win because my heart just can't
do it. Very nice. He can't do it. That's why Elliott's in the net.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. My stress levels go through the roof when Brian Elliott's in net.
We can't have that.
We can't.
You're stressed enough.
I really am. You know what helps my stress, though?
Drinking?
Yes.
Okay.
But also Mikey Watson.
What's going on, guys? Mikey at DFW. I'm calling literally with no outline, no real, you know, reason to call other than I was told that the Democrats might, you know, nix the filibuster, so I'm going to get a filibuster here just because I'm bored and I'm driving home and I feel like I'm behind on a few topics, so we're just going to ramble here and go. Number one, candy bars, chocolate bars, whatever the hell you want to call them. This is off the top of my head. I've tried thinking about this off and on for the last few weeks and really can't come up with anything, but these are in no particular order, but if I'm going to hold on to five, or I can only have five different ones for the rest of my life. All right, I'm going with the Three Musketeers. On the whole, it's not the best, but when I mix it with an A&W cream soda, it, like, takes me back to a certain place in time when I was stocking shelves at my first job back in high school. A&W Cream Soda, Three Musketeers, that's my jam right there. So Three Musketeers, I'm putting up there. Twix. Twix are outstanding, especially with you got two of them there. That's fantastic. You know, you can, if you want to save one for later, they always market it like that. Who the fuck's going to save one for later? Come on, you're going to eat both that chicken. It's fucking good. I'll take a Kit Kat bar. Do Reese's Peanut Butter Cups count here? Because if they do, they're absolutely 100% on the list. And then I'm just going with the classic Hershey bar. No almonds, none of that shit. If I want nuts, I'll actually get nuts. I just want regular ass Hershey chocolate and, with the 12 squares and all that crap. So Hershey bar, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Twix, Kit Kat, and Three Musketeers. Those are my five. That's it. That's the list. I don't know what order they are, except if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups do count, they're probably number one. Number two, it is for the past. They need to give a Stanley Trophy to the Scotia Bank North Division champion, whatever the Canada Division is called. The Scotia Bank Division, whatever the fuck it is. They need to give them a trophy. It needs to be like the Confederation Cup or whatever it is, because it can't be Stanley Cup, obviously. But they need to have their own trophy. The champion of Canada needs to be a really fucking deal. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. And they need to something to that to be a, you know. Here's my question. What are they going to do with the conference trophies this season? Like, how do we decide to place the trophy and the Clarence Campbell Bowl? I need to know these things because I've been a big advocate of the Prince of Wales Trophy on the show before. It's the I told you, I'm filibustering here. Defensive Wales Trophy is the second best trophy in the world behind only Lord Stanley's Cup. I need to know how it's going to be determined who's playing for it. So, because I know they're doing the, I know they're doing the, you know, the reseeding the four division winners at the end, but there's no conference. So are we just, are like, is the winner of the Western Division, no matter who they play, going to play for the Campbell Bowl? Or is the winner of the Eastern Division going to play for the Prince of Wales Trophy, no matter who they're playing, no matter who they draw? I just don't know how they're going to do this, and that kind of shit gets important to me, okay? What else do I got? There was something else I had. Fuck it, I don't fucking remember. Like I said, it's a filibuster, and I'm using this time to fill up content for one of my favorite podcasts out here on the internet. The Hurricanes got COVID. That fucking sucks. John LeClair's old. That tweet was absolutely outstanding. What else? The Royal Rumble's apparently this weekend. Who gives a shit? I don't know. Listen to the TLD podcast. We'll be talking about the Royal Rumble soon enough. And I guess that's it for now. Mikey gets up. I'm out.
When we were discussing candy / chocolate bars.
Yes.
The Three Musketeers bar slipped my mind.
Mm.
That is a phenomenal bar of chocolate.
Mm, okay. Well, he agrees with you.
He does. I think for the purposes of this argument, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup can enter the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's not your traditional candy bar, but it's candy. It's not a bar, it's a cup. But you know what? It counts because it's Reese's and it's the best ever.
Yeah. And there's no, like, there's nothing else like it. So there's not really anywhere else to group it. It's the platypus of the dessert world.
Yes.
Unique and delicious.
Yeah, just like the platypus.
Right? onto his hockey ideas.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of broke up talking about the Canadian division getting their own...
I know, it really meant a lot to him, though. But, well, yeah. So, I mean, just...
I broke up a little myself. But, I mean, I don't know that I support that idea. I don't know why you would give just the Canadian division their own trophy. But what do you think they're going to do with the conference trophies?
There is no conference. It's just the divisions.
So what do you do with those trophies?
Nothing. You don't award them
this year?
You do not award them.
Or do you decide ahead of time this one gets the one, this one gets the other? No? Nothing?
No, you can't have the Flyers get the Campbell. It just doesn't work that way.
I tend to agree. You got the Western Conference winner gets this trophy. The Eastern Conference winner gets this trophy. No conferences, no trophies.
Right. It's that simple. If you don't have a conference, there's no conference trophy. Like, even we understand that.
Well, but the trophy is kind of awarded to the semifinal or the finalists, not the semifinalists.
The two finalists, yeah, but how do you... Again, you could have two teams from the East in your cup final.
Yeah, but you would just then predetermine the winner of this series gets this trophy and the winner of this series gets the other one.
Nah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
It's a trophy. No, I don't like it.
All right. They will not be awarded this year. It has been decided.
It has. So thank you. Well, we'll say, though, about the Scotia division, though, about Canada. Mm-hmm. I don't think you need a trophy, but I think you'll have some pretty good bragging rights. I think that's a really cool thing to have. Maybe. It really depends on how it shakes out.
It's really weird. Like, I think the only real bragging rights you get out of this division is that they are the ones who've had to travel the most. Like, I think it's the division that has it the hardest.
So it means the most if you win it.
I think so. But the fact that it's in Canada doesn't matter. Because it's the makeup of the teams. Just because the teams are in Canada doesn't mean they're made up of Canadian players. So it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, the team, or the league is so diverse, and the talent from a nationality standpoint is so widespread. Like, there could be 17 American players on a Canadian team and 17 Canadian players on an American team.
Well, that's the thing. Like, the best player on the most recognizable Canadian team is a goddamn Yankee.
Exactly. Well, not the best player, but the...
No? You know what? Matthews not the best player?
No.
Marketable?
Marner is a better player.
You want Marner? Oh, your fucking Marner boner is crazy.
Yep.
I don't deny that. No, I think right now, he's a better hockey player.
Okay.
And I still contend that when all is said and done, he will be the best of his generation.
Okay. I really thought you were going to say, like, when it's really all said and done, he and Shane Doan will go into the Hall of Fame together.
No, Doan's going way. He's going way before
Marner's done. I think Marner's going to be better than all of them.
Okay. We shall see.
And I realize that's a ridiculous statement based on almost nothing.
Really? What part?
Oh, most of it.
Yes. All right. Hey, if you want ridiculous statements,
here's JD.
Hey guys, JD, and I assume this was Haji's tweet on the Beer Money account, and it was basically, you know, are the Flyers lucky or are they good? Is it going to collapse? Is it going to fall apart? And he said almost certainly. And so it got me thinking. So there's a couple things with hockey. As you know, there is a lot of luck in the game of hockey as compared to, for example, the game of baseball. Major League Baseball, after 162 games, you have a pretty good idea of what the teams making the playoffs, you know, deserve to be there. And you don't get to the playoffs in baseball by luck for the most part. And in hockey, that luck can carry you through. And so I remember reading probably 4 or 5 years ago in the old fancy stats book that, you know, teams can go on a lucky streak with 82 games and a high degree of luck. It's not uncommon for teams to have 40, even up to about 60 games where they're playing over their head based on luck. And after that, basically 60, 63 game points, teams kind of separate themselves. They are where they are. They are who they are. And you get a pretty good idea when teams are going to collapse back to earth based on either a goaltending playing way over his head, a goaltender, or, you know, a team's top line has some guys who are shooting at an unsustainable level. It comes back to earth. And so it seems like every year there's that one team. I think the Minnesota was it for, you know, 2 out of 3 years or something like that, where all the fancy stats people are like, look, they're not that good, and that town's like, no, we're this good, and then they go back to being a mediocre team for the next 3 years, and it's pretty clear that it was just a lucky streak. So, point to all this is, in a 56-game season, it's very possible that a team goes the entire calendar year right now on a streak of luck. And so what I would, I guess, suggest here is that you know, it's quite possible that we reach the end of the regular season and we still don't know how good a team is, even if they are a first-place team. There's a wide variance that could be in there based on a player or a team having a hot streak and able to sustain a ridiculous shooting level or a ridiculous save percentage. So that's going to be something, I guess, to keep an eye on. Don't be shocked if the Flyers, for example, would collapse in an 82-game season, but in 56 games, it just doesn't happen. So there you go. Something to ponder. Cheers, JD.
Luck.
Yes, have some.
All right. Moving on. No, it's an interesting point.
Can you be a lucky team for 56 games? But not 82? Like, what's the cutoff?
I think the point is that, like, if you can go on a 20-game win streak in an 82-game season, that's fantastic. If you can do that in a 56-game season, here's your President's Trophy.
Yeah, but that means nothing, though. Where's your Stan Lee Cup?
Yeah, you got to carry it over like into the playoffs.
Yeah.
For sure.
So either way you slice it, the playoffs are still a crapshoot. So you can be a really hot team going in, but again, what do you need to win the Stanley Cup? What does it take?
A little bit of scoring and a goalie doesn't fuck you.
There you go.
Yeah. But I don't disagree with this theory here.
I never disagree with JD. Except when he talks about goalies.
To get to the tweet that sparked that, I do fully expect for the Flyers to have just a complete system-wide collapse at some point during the season.
Because it's what they do.
Well, yeah. I mean, it would be it wouldn't be a season of Flyers hockey if that hadn't if that didn't happen. So far, from what I can tell, they're getting balanced scoring, which is great. Like they they're not in a position where they need to rely on Voracek and Giroux to do like 60% of their scoring between the two of them.
Right.
Which is great because both of those guys are huge streaky players. So you start supplementing with like a Joel Farabee, who's one of the league's top scorers. JVR just had a 4-point night.
Yep.
I
think it was against my fucking new sweaters.
Yeah, it might have been.
God damn, that was annoying. They got fucking swept by the Flyers at home. Yeah. Oh, that was not good.
See, from where I'm sitting, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad.
So, I mean, and still, there's, like you mentioned, Carter Hart has not been Carter Hart yet this season. So, once he finds his game, this becomes a pretty dangerous team.
It's a very dangerous team. If this is the worst Hart is going to be all year, if he gets that out of his system...
Oh, God, yeah, do it now.
That's a fucking dangerous team. Yeah.
Yep, oh. Yep. Moving right along.
Moving.
I think that's it for the dumps.
It is, not, yes.
Or we didn't... Did we play Coles? We didn't play Coles on McKenna.
I thought we did.
We didn't.
Okay.
Let's do that. So we did that. I was going to save it till later because he sent it later. And it made sense chronologically.
See, I thought...
But we've already talked about most of it.
We sure did. I thought we were going to play him back-to-back just because it really just showcases the Mikey Jinx before and after.
Right. Okay, so we did that. We've already heard Coles. We didn't hear it just now. We heard it earlier.
Okay. This will be just as seamless as Reebok finally winning a cup in Boston.
Right? All right. Thank you, everyone. Mikey, Jinx, yeah. And Cole, for your contributions.
Yes, thank.
They are much appreciated.
As always.
So that moves us along to wrestling, I guess. Yeah,
sure does. Yeah.
All right. We talked Women's Rushmore. Do we want to dive into that then?
Dive away.
Yikes. Need a, 1 second.
Hmm.
All right. Let's.
Let us.
Our pal Cole says hi, guys.
Yes. Hi.
His, Women's Wrestling Rushmore is the subject of his email.
Yep.
I've given this one a little more thought, and I think I'm prepared to make my picks, which will represent a wider range of pioneers in the women's division than my initial reaction, which was just to include all of the Four Horse women. While I still think that as all-around performers, those four are light years ahead of some of those on the list, I want to acknowledge the contributions these performers had within their eras.
Can we acknowledge the importance of punctuation?
We could.
I love you, Cole, but... Please mix in a comma.
Whew.
Yeah.
That was a sentence. Here we go. Number one, Sherry Martel. She might be the most underrated performer of any gender in the history of wrestling. I absolutely love everything Sherry did. Her high points came in an era when there wasn't even a real women's division to compete in. My mouse was over the period there. That was my fault. Had there been, she would have been head and shoulders above many of the others. Instead of competing directly with the women, she was a heat magnet as a valet, and she took some bumps. It was an era when they weren't afraid to let their babyface men put their hands on Sherry, and she bumped better than nearly the entire roster. Excuse me.
Wow, that's burped better.
Yes, than nearly the entire roster. She was a major part of the act for Macho King, Ted DiBiase, Rick Martel, Shawn Michaels, and Harlem Heat. I loved her in this role so much that I'll go out on a limb and say she was the second greatest manager of all time, only behind Bobby Heenan.
Big boy statement. Totally. Wow. Wow.
That is a paragraph full of big boys, or big girl statements, as they were.
Yes.
And I don't disagree. I think she's one of those sort of, like, she's like a lost soul. She had all the talent in the world and nobody to display it against. As a wrestler in the 80s and 90s, there was nothing for her to do. There was no one for her to fight.
No, I mean, unless you want to see her go up against Leilani Kai for another 20 times or something like that.
Yeah, so I like it. That's a good one. And she is better known as a manager or valet just because there was nothing else for her to do. But even there, just monumental talent.
Second greatest?
She helped get Brutus Beefcake over. So, I mean, if you can
help make Beefcake as a singles wrestler, you've done a very good job.
Either that or your name is Hulk Hogan and you pretty much put Beefcake in that position to win.
Oh, you can put him in the position, but then he's still got to be accepted. And Hogan can't be out there holding his jockstrap the entire time.
Not for a lack of trying.
Well, that's true. But yeah, she was huge in his career.
Yep.
I like it.
Next up is Chyna. I'm actually not even that a big fan of Chyna's work, but I can't deny the impact she had on the business and the inspiration she gave to the performers who came behind her.
That was after the rest of her career. You know what? That's it. Full stop. Next one.
She started out Jesus as the female leader for a male wrestler, which is a really cool twist on the valet bodyguard formula. She integrated herself into the DX stable well, helped along greatly by the charisma of HBK, Triple H, Outlaws, and X-Pac. When she got her chance to compete in the men's division, she was a bit clunky, but held her own and did have some memorable storylines, especially with Chris Jericho and Eddie Guerrero. When she entered the women's division, though, she was essentially a division killer as there was no physical match for her. Again, she was sort of out of place because she had no competition.
Right.
But for a different reason than Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
But kind of the prototype for, definitely Victoria, but Beth Phoenix, Nia Jax even.
Yep.
The giant powerhouse female.
Yeah.
Nicole Bass.
Is not.
Nobody came behind her.
No.
Trish Stratus. Ever so slightly ahead of Lita. Both Trish and Lita started as valets. I think if it was only that portion of their career, I'd likely lean toward Lita. Trish's early work was really rough. But to her credit, I think she might be a candidate for most improved performer of any gender from her start to her height. She became a very capable champion in the ring as a babyface, and later as a heel, she added in superb character work. Lita mostly worked as a babyface in the ring, although when given the chance to be the dirty heel with Edge, she did great there too, although most of those moments I now associate as Edge's valet rather than on her own. These two were so close for this spot, but ultimately I decided that Trish's brief recent return is what put her over the top. She came back and performed well at Evolution and then got to be in a high profile match at SummerSlam against Charlotte Flair in Toronto, and those ladies absolutely delivered.
Was that just like this past year?
Last year. No, 2 years ago, 2019.
Okay. I didn't know that had happened.
It did.
Neat.
It was.
I think.
Pardon me.
Trish and Lita are going to be always linked.
Yes.
Because they sort of revolutionized, revitalized.
You can't tell one story without mentioning the other. So they're always, it's like Hogan and Piper. You can't say one without the other.
Yeah. I'm never going to argue if someone wants to put Trish on a Rushmore.
Right.
I mean, to me, she just belongs.
Of course.
Finally, Charlotte Flair. Simply put, she is the best all-around female performer I've ever seen. She can absolutely go in the ring. She can work as a babyface. She's incredible as a heel, and her character work has put her in an elite class that she can believably be the main event on any show she is on, including WrestleMania. Becky had the higher height, when her babyface tweener persona took off. Sasha's NXT run as a heel might be my favorite short-term run for any female character. Bayley has also proved she can be a top babyface or a top heel, but Charlotte has basically been at the absolute top of the division since she broke onto the scene in NXT, and it isn't just because of the push. She has delivered in every spot the company has put her in, and she takes the spot on Rushmore for the current generation. That's the list. Later, Cole.
Later, Cole.
Later, Cole. That's a good list.
That's a great list. I really can't disagree with the three or four.
You don't think Sherry or Chyna belongs?
Well, it's his list, so it's his call. I don't know. I think Sherry and Chyna would just miss it for me. I don't know if you can tell the story of women's wrestling without Moolah.
Mm-hmm.
Forget all the shit that she was accused of doing or ultimately proved of doing. You can't. I mean, she is women's wrestling, so she has to be on there.
I tend to agree, yeah.
And then I don't remember who my fourth was. It might have been Becky, only because she was popular enough to really transcend her gender and actually main event WrestleMania.
But she did that. That was against Rousey, or was that against Charlotte?
It was against Rousey and Charlotte.
Okay, but it wasn't that it was supposed to be just against Rousey, and then they kind of shoehorned Charlotte in.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I know something.
You did. Yes, I'm impressed.
Speaking of Charlotte, this seems to me a good way to segue into this past weekend's Royal Rumble.
Yes.
What the fuck? That's my question.
That was your biggest takeaway?
What's happening with Ric Flair and the girl from the poster with the making a muscle pose?
Lacey Evans.
Yeah, that's her name.
Well, apparently Lacey Evans is getting under the skin of Charlotte by flirting with her dad. And her dad is trying to have Charlotte lose on purpose. Like, he's trying to get involved in her matches and, like, trip her up and distract her so that she loses for some reason. I don't really understand.
So that he can fuck Lacey up?
Yeah, I don't know how one is related to the other. Like, if he wants to fuck her, then just fuck her. I don't know why he needs to make sure his daughter loses at the same time. I don't understand it.
Okay. The way it was presented when he came out during the Royal Rumble and then introduced Lacey Evans was that he was managing. And I say that having watched the show with no volume.
That's right. What were you watching?
Justified.
Okay.
And the Rumble was just sort of on an iPad to the side.
Yes.
Okay. So it's not that I wasn't following the story. It was that there's really no story to follow.
Yes. As it's pretty much like that for any of their angles. It's not you, it's them.
Right.
Or sometimes it's you, but not this time.
I miss good angles very much.
Right?
All right. What else we got on the Rumble? I didn't see any of the pre-show.
You didn't miss anything. Did you watch Owens versus Reigns?
I tuned in as that was happening.
That's a fucking brutal match. I mean, they laid everything out there. It was great. No, I mean, brutal in terms of, like, the shit they did to each other.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a great match. Yeah. Yes.
I enjoyed it.
Yep. Yeah.
Have they got these in order? Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defeated Asuka and Charlotte Flair. Asuka and Charlotte Flair were the female tag team champions?
They were. Now they're not. And I think that's going to set up beef between the two of them. And maybe that's your WrestleMania match, Asuka versus Charlotte.
Well, that'd be great, but
what's the point of having Lacey Evans? Yeah, I don't know.
Is Lacey Evans the female Roman Reigns?
No.
Okay.
No.
From a booking standpoint, we're going to shove this down your throat until you fucking accept it because this is what we want to have happen.
No, I mean, it actually might be Nia Jax.
Lacey Evans is the female Nia Jax?
Yes. Nia Jax is the female Roman Reigns.
Oh, that certainly makes more sense from a lot of standpoints.
Yes.
All right, so that was a match that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Drew McIntyre defeated Goldberg. Is the time on this right? 2 minutes and 32 seconds?
Yeah. Okay. Now, they did brawl. They brawled outside the ring before the bell actually rang. So I'll give them like another minute or so. But yeah, you're not going to get Goldberg for more than 2 minutes. Like,
wow. No, I think I was wrong. And I think this is the match that I tuned in during.
Okay. I mean, it's literally blink and you miss it.
But it was like spear, 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 spear. Yeah. And I assumed that we were like 17 minutes into the match. So I saw probably 2 minutes and 15 seconds of this 2 minute and 32 second match.
Nice.
Yeah, I had no idea. I thought, because they both looked gassed.
Yes, one little more so than the other.
Mm-hmm. So with McIntyre winning.
Yes.
Is this Goldberg going out on his back and putting somebody over?
I hope so. I really don't need to see him in the ring again.
Right.
If he goes out putting McIntyre over, I'd be okay with that. But that's because it's Goldberg, he'll probably be back for the next show in Saudi Arabia or something like that.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Which you won't see anyway, so it doesn't...
No, exactly.
All right. I saw more of this show than I thought I did.
You really did. I'm impressed.
So that match went the right way. Mm-hmm. If the unexpected way.
Yes.
And then Sasha defeated Carmella.
No. Yes. Sorry.
Yes, she did. I watched it happen.
She did. You're right. Yes. You're right.
And as I watched this match, I kept thinking to myself, Carmella looks really good from a wrestling standpoint. Like, she looked like she was really holding her own.
She has improved.
And at the same time, I was thinking, Sasha looks really bad. Like, doing spots she shouldn't have been doing, and things just weren't working out for her, and she's, like, adopted Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit's movesets, apparently.
Right. The problem with Sasha is that she will play down to her competition at times, which is why I think she always needs to be in the ring with somebody who's at her equal or better than her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she can't be the general in this kind of situation. You know what I mean? Like, she can't be kind of just taking care of Carmella. She needs to be with an equal.
But Carmella didn't look like she needed taking care of.
Carmella is still Carmella.
I thought she looked really good.
Okay.
But, and maybe that was Sasha making her look good.
Yeah.
But it looked like she was... I mean,
fucking Sasha bumps all over the fucking place. She's insane.
Yeah, I was unsure who was going to win the match.
Okay.
Which I think is all you can really ask for.
Yes, absolutely.
So I thought that match was fine.
It was fine. Yeah.
I can do without this Reginald, apparently, his name is.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah.
The Lady Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
Was a thing.
It was.
If I'm being honest, I didn't watch a lot of it. I was.
Oh, you should have. You missed a very good Rumble.
Did I? I don't think I did.
Yeah.
The parts I saw weren't great.
Okay. The two Rumble matches were two of the best they've had for a very long time. And something we talk about every January is the fact that there are some moments in the Rumble match themselves where, like, there's so much filler and just so much just wasted time, and there's no reason to have these people in there because they're obviously not going to win. The pacing for these two and just the way, you know, people trotted out there and then, you know, they weren't there any longer than they had to be. Like, it was just really, really well done. There wasn't a lot of just fat to trim for either match. I really liked it. Especially the women's match. Yeah. You get your last four, you get Charlotte Flair, Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Natalya. And Natalya, I mean, she is what she is. She really had no business being in the final four. But for those three, I mean, that's the best scenario you can ask for, given your available talent. Just those three going at it for the right to get a title match at WrestleMania. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Once you got to that point, I'm with you. It was entertaining, but it was a slog getting there.
Okay.
And I felt like the...
Maybe because I didn't think it was as sluggish. Yeah. Like, I was expecting the worst, and I was
expecting excellence and got meh.
Yeah.
For most of the match. And then, like, the end, I agree, was good. Except for when Ripley and Belair both went over the ropes and Belair's feet were very clearly on the floor.
Yeah, the JS saw that too. She's like, this they might want to zoom. Yeah. Yeah.
But I thought the special guests in this match were terrible.
Yeah, there's no need to have the 24/7 bullshit.
Oh, there was
when the women are
God,
having.
God, I'd forgotten that even happened.
Get that shit out of there.
I was no talking about like the actual women in the match competing.
Oh, like Jillian Hall and there was somebody else.
Tori Wilson.
Tori Wilson, yeah. No reason to be there.
Yeah, like they actually detracted from the match.
Yep.
And just a couple of different spots where people actually got in the way.
Yes.
Which you don't generally see in these things. And it really, really stood out because, like, you think about all of these matches that have happened and you don't see... Like, I don't know how they choreographed them or coordinate them. Like, there were a couple of times where there was clearly these two women right now are the focus of the match. Everybody else should just be sort of off to the side. And somebody just
went... Or in the corner or whatever. Right through. Yeah.
They're about to set up the spot for this sequence, and somebody's just like coming right at him like, no.
It's like a photo bomb. Like somebody somebody getting in your picture.
Yeah, it was like really glaringly obvious that it was a botch. Like, just, you're not supposed to be where you are right now. Get out of the way. Which, on the one hand, is terribly distracting from the current match, but on the other hand, makes all the other ones that you've seen before that much more impressive, that it's not something I'd ever noticed.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess, is Bianca Belair beholden to a certain champion?
It's probably going to be Sasha.
It's probably, like, because that's the brand she's on, or because that's what you're predicting is going to happen? Okay, so it is brand specific?
Well, I mean, it's, technically, she can choose either one. I'm pretty sure she's going to choose Sasha.
Okay.
Or whomever the SmackDown champion is.
Because she's on SmackDown, she has to face the SmackDown champion, though? Or
she doesn't, but I think, I assume she's going to choose the SmackDown champion.
Okay. I thought that she had to face whoever her brand's champion was, and then the male winner, by dint of being a free agent, could choose anybody.
No, the male and female winners can choose whomever they want.
Okay. And then they'll have Elimination Chamber to determine the other main event. Is that correct?
Yeah. Now, what the interesting thing is, normally we can predict all this shit about who's going to win the Rumble matches, who's going to be the champion going into WrestleMania, and what your, you know, your title matches are going to be. I can't predict any of this leading into it because I have no idea.
That's a good thing.
With the exception of Belair and Banks, that everything else is up in the air. And that is a good thing, yeah.
Who would be the other option for female champion?
Asuka?
So she was the women's champion and the tag team champion? Okay.
Yeah. But then it doesn't make sense because Asuka is going to do something with Charlotte. So then, I don't know. And then you have to, there's also the factor of Becky coming back, maybe, by WrestleMania. She's going to want to get involved. So I don't know.
And Bailey's got to be around somewhere.
Yup. Anyway, it's a nice problem to have. You have a lot of talent.
Absolutely.
Just hope you use it the right way.
Or at all.
Yes.
The Last Man Standing match, we already kind of discussed it, but it was pretty fucking good.
Yep.
And this was another one where I honestly thought Kevin Owens could have won.
Yeah. But, I mean, Roman's the guy. Like, they're not going to take the title off him. Or at least not until WrestleMania, anyway.
Or unless he gets handcuffed to a thing and, like, can't
unlock the cuff. That was a little awkward.
God, that was painful.
Yep.
And it was kind of stupid because, like, the whole idea was that he was handcuffed and couldn't get to his feet.
But he got to his feet.
But then at some point, get out of the cuff. He had to be kind of like, okay, like, this has gone on long enough. I got to just stand up. Or, like,
exactly.
We're running out of ways to not call the match here.
Yes.
But other than that one little hitch,
yeah,
it went off really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, the golf cart spot was fun.
Yep. I mean, KO is pretty much the Canadian Mick Foley.
Sure, yeah. He shipped like a cannonball.
Yep.
And then the men's rumble. It was fine. It was good. I enjoyed it.
How about Carlito coming back?
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's last year Edge came back.
Yes.
And Carlito is not Edge.
He's not, but he looked amazing.
He looked in fantastic shape.
Yes. No, I'm not equating Carlito with Edge. Not tonight, anyway.
But
I don't have the energy to do it.
Right. We don't have the time for you to try to do it.
Right.
There just wasn't that sort of, like, major, holy fuck, I don't...
No. And you're not going to... No, and you're not going to get that without a crowd.
You don't think they would bring somebody back? Like, I don't know who that would be.
No, you bring Carlito back when your fans are all virtual. If you actually have 50,000 people in the arena or in the stadium or whatever, that's when you bring back a name. I don't know who, but it's not Carlito.
Okay. Question about AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Who is his massive compatriot?
His name's like Osmosis? Osmos? I don't remember his. He's a very large individual.
Is it Oz?
I think it's not Oz.
Tried this.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not Oz.
It looks like he is the answer to what do we do with Braun Strowman?
Yeah, that's one thing you can do.
Because there was Strowman who was like, he threw AJ out and Giant Dude caught him, right?
Yes.
And then he looked at him and then tossed him out the other side, which I thought was really clever.
That's very good. All right, so your final five, well, technically your final four were Edge, Christian, Seth Rollins, Strowman, and then you had Orton, who was selling an injury,
yeah,
who didn't come back until the very end.
Right.
That, right. And I mean,
telegraph that shit from a mile.
Oh, of course. But just for those, for the first four, as your last four in the Rumble, this is exactly how you book it. Again, with the exception of Christian, he doesn't really need to be there, but it's great for storyline purposes.
It was a lot of fun to bring him back. And I really appreciated that they just went right into Edge and Christian are a unit. They're a team. They're friends.
Yep.
We're not even fucking around with this.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't do a thing where like Edge throws him out and like it just, there is no question going forward. Apparently, Christian signed a short-term contract, so he's going to be around a little bit.
Beauty.
I would imagine as sort of, I don't know if Edge has decided who he's going to fight yet or if it's been announced who he's going to fight yet, but I would imagine
he has not.
Christian will be used as the catalyst.
Warmer. Yeah.
Like Reigns will attack him and destroy him and then Edge will get revenge.
Yep. So he has not declared who he's fighting. I think they're going to delay that as long as they can. Like Edge is going to go on Raw. He's going to go on NXT and he's going to go on SmackDown and talk shit about each champion and not actually say who he's fighting.
Who is the NXT champion?
Finn Balor.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, right? That'd be a good match. But you can't have Edge have his WrestleMania comeback against Finn Balor for the NXT championship.
Can't you?
No, I you can't. Because first of all, that's not going to end the show. And second, it's unfair to say it, but it's really sinking Edge to a lower level than he should be at. Like, a Hall of Famer doesn't come back just to wrestle for a lesser title.
But what if the idea is to elevate NXT as a brand?
The problem with that is, it's like college football. It's like, where do you want to be? Do you want to be playing at Carolina, or do you want to be playing in Carolina for the Panthers? You can dress it up as much as you want, but it's still not the highest form of competition for what they do.
But if they're trying to rebrand it as like a legitimate third option,
it's really not though.
Okay.
Okay. They've tried to do it like for Survivor Series, like the last few years. It's not going to work.
Okay. That's fair. But is that because it's not yet established or is it because it's just not there?
It's just not there.
Okay.
And it will never be there. It's always going to be seen as a launching pad for other talent.
Yeah. It seems like a training ground.
The thing is, NXT is the best program they have. Like, the wrestling, the promos, everything, it's all fantastic. It's all really great. But when they make that leap onto Raw or SmackDown is when it kind of just falls flat. It doesn't progress with the talent for some reason.
So is Balor there because he couldn't hack it, or is he there to raise the profile?
Both, maybe. I don't know. See, he was... Like, when he came to Raw, everybody loved him. He was in the title picture. Rollins heard him, and then he was out for like a year, and then he went back to NXT. So it's not like he couldn't cut it. It's just that he got hurt, and they didn't have any plans for him when he got back.
That's
like, all right, we'll put you in NXT.
Yeah, he came back, and there was, like, everything had moved on without him.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
So what do you think about Edge as winner?
I think it's fantastic. I don't know what you do with it. I don't really want to see Edge and McIntyre. I don't think that's going to be a great match. You can't have babyface versus babyface. It's not going to work.
Mm.
Especially if they want fans in the building. You need to have the feel-good moment. And I don't know if you're going to have it with either McIntyre beating the shit out of Edge or Edge defeating the guy that they've been building up the last 2 years. Plus, I don't think they would work well together. Just two different styles. It just doesn't jive.
I feel like Edge 10 or 15 years ago versus McIntyre is a great match.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I agree that I don't think it's the way to go. I don't think he should have won the Rumble.
I don't either.
I don't know really what giving Edge WrestleMania main event does for anybody right now.
It really depends on the opponent. And that's like, this is where like the Elimination Chamber and Money in the Bank and all that shit really come into play. Because I don't see him against McIntyre. I don't know if I want to see him against Reigns. Because Reigns has, you know, Reigns could give me Reigns and Owens again. Like, I'll watch that fucking all day. I think they work really well together. Give me Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. Like, there's a story there. I don't know whose Edge's story is against except Randy Orton, and they've done that already.
Yeah, I'm not interested. And I'm not interested in seeing Edge versus Christian if they're thinking about going that route. I think Edge versus KO could work.
Now, see, that's interesting.
And then again, like I said last show, you find a way to make Reigns and McIntyre happen.
Yeah, because the shit they did for the Survivor Series, that was great.
That if Edge...
The problem is one of them has to lose their belt.
Right. Yeah. Take the belt off of Reigns, put it on Owens for Mania, and then have Owens drop it back to Reigns at whatever pay-per-view comes after Mania.
Okay, so Owens and Edge, and then Reigns and McIntyre?
Reigns and McIntyre, yeah.
All right, good. Book it. I'm done. That's it.
If you're not doing something along those lines, who does McIntyre have?
Sheamus.
You see the problem?
Yes, I do.
Like, if you're looking at Sheamus or a Jinder Mahal as your opponent,
no one's looking at him. Mm. Yeah.
Is Sheamus the only person that McIntyre is feuding with at the moment? Was Sheamus in the Rumble?
He was in the Rumble. They currently have beef, but I can't see it lasting for 3 months.
So what do you do with McIntyre? Like, barring Reigns or Edge?
I really like the Reigns and McIntyre idea because McIntyre can tell a much better story with Reigns. The fact that he's never beat him one-on-one. He never had his WrestleMania, like, go home moment where the crowd's going nuts, mm-hmm. where they would if he actually beat Reigns. You're crossing out, you're checking off a lot of boxes with a McIntyre Reigns match. I'm wondering if they gave Edge the win, but they're not going to actually give him the championship match.
Well, it says he gets the main event spot. It doesn't say he gets a title match.
That is true.
I think it's assumed that you get to choose the champion of your choosing.
And you do, but maybe he loses that as a stipulation in something.
Oh, yeah, you could go that way, too.
Because you want your champion to be another part-timer? You just did that with Lesnar for I don't know how many years.
Mm. And Goldberg has recently been a champion.
Yeah.
And this is why I have a problem with Edge winning the title, or not the title, but the Rumble, is just that it's so unnecessary. Like, if you want Edge to be on TV, if you want Edge to be on Mania, you can do that. You can do all of that.
He doesn't need a Rumble win.
Yeah. It doesn't do him any good. It doesn't put him
over. You know who needs it? Strowman needs it. Rollins needs it. Keith Lee needs it.
There you go. Yeah, I don't know that Strowman or Rollins.
All right. But somebody like Keith Lee. Now, he couldn't perform because of COVID, but like, he could have been made into like an actual star during the Rumble.
I was wondering why he wasn't involved in the match.
Yeah, his girlfriend tested positive, so he couldn't perform. He hasn't been on Raw in like the last 3 weeks. It's absolutely horrible timing.
There's no way that like he was supposed to be the winner and they went with Edge.
It's possible. Just to pivot and go with Edge, it's possible.
Now, do you maybe have him come back at Elimination Chamber and challenge Edge for his spot?
See, there you go. Now we're talking. So, like, Edge and Keith Lee, I'll watch that.
I don't know. Has that been done?
No.
I know the Money in the Bank contract has been put up.
Oh, has the WrestleMania
Somebody said, I'll challenge you for your Rumble win, like for the spoils of your Rumble win.
I think I saw that in PWI once.
You might have. And what's going on with Miz? How long does he have to cash in?
A year?
From when, though?
Whenever the money in the ladder in the briefcase was, like June?
Is that a... Okay. Because they used to do that at Mania.
Yeah. No. Now it's its own pay-per-view. So technically he has a year from the pay-per-view.
Okay. I was sort of waiting for him to cash in.
Wouldn't it have made sense for him to cash in during a Last Man Standing match?
Yes.
Okay.
Like maybe when Reigns is... chained to a fucking statue.
Yeah, just throwing that out there.
I would like to hand you this and just claim the title. I don't even have to do anything.
Oh, man. Seriously, wouldn't that have been great, though? All he has to do is hand the briefcase to the ref, just put a foot down on Reigns so he can't get up.
Don't even need to. I mean, he sat there for like a minute and a half, not being able to stand up, apparently.
Yeah.
That would have been hilarious if he just wandered out and be like, I'm cashing
it. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great moment to have Edge win, but unnecessary. And now it gives them a headache of, well, how do you book it? What do you do?
Right. I'm super glad that it wasn't Orton the one.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a fucking disaster.
And fun that Edge got the upper hand on him that way.
Yep.
But it was, like, as soon as they were carting him off, it's like, okay, he'll be back. We've seen this before. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Foley do it. We've seen Eddie do it. It's been done.
As soon as somebody goes under the bottom rope, like, all right, fine. There's going to be fuckery. Get it.
All right, that's the Rumble.
Sure is.
So, I mean, overall, I'm glad I watched it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one thing is... It's usually predictable, and this year it wasn't. So I appreciated that aspect of it.
Good. We got tweets.
Sure do. Speaking of wrestling.
Yes.
Cole sends us a retweet from John Our And. O-U-R-A-N-D. Our And. I'm going to go with that.
Yes.
NBC has told distributors and some sports leagues that it plans to shut down its NBCSN sports channel by the end of the year. Story coming in... SBD. Silent but Deadly?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when that...
Cole says, this has an impact to NHL and WWE at Beer Money Pod. Of course, Cole can be found on the Twitters at CMCOLE82.
Nice recovery.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I assume... The WWE is currently playing on the NBCSN?
It's currently playing on the WWE Network. Now, right now, it's on the WWE Network. That will be swallowed into Peacock.
Oh, the whole network?
The entire network. The WWE Network will be an actual channel on the Peacock app.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, which I understand that it's probably good for them in the long run, but don't you want your own app just for that? Or you're going to get lost in the shuffle of all the other things that the NBC app can show? Like,
I would imagine it'll still be a standalone app.
So you're saying it's going to be available for a standalone app and as part of Peacock? Is that what you're predicting?
I would think so.
I would hope so.
I mean, God, that seems like a lot of content to have on one app.
Yes.
Like, as a streaming service as a whole, I kind of understand how you would have things branch off.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like just a lot to put in one place.
Yes.
But from the WWE standpoint, I can understand wanting to hand over control, or not control, but administration.
Yes.
Of that part of the business. To somebody who does that.
It makes total sense for the visibility for all of NBC's properties to have your content along with all of them. It makes total sense.
Yeah, let somebody else run it.
Yeah, it's just... For me, it's like you lose your individuality that way. It kind of sucks. I really like the idea of a standalone app and just like you're your own entity and all that.
So where are the, what are there, three brands if you don't count the UK?
All right, so Raw is on USA, which is an NBC-owned property.
Okay.
NXT is on USA.
Oh, I thought that Smackdown was strictly on the app.
No.
I didn't realize
NXT's on USA. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. SmackDown's on Fox. So that's interesting.
Right.
So now when Fox, well, when SmackDown has to promote a pay-per-view, they're like, make sure you watch WrestleMania on the Peacock app.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, yeah, that's interesting.
Troublesome.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a branded pay-per-view. Like, not one of the big four where everybody competes, but this is a SmackDown-only pay-per-view.
They don't do those anymore.
They don't do those anymore? Of course they fucking don't.
No. Thank God.
So that's a problem, potentially. Although I'm sure they didn't do this and then go, oops, we didn't think of that.
I'm sure there's a solution for it. And then as it pertains to the NHL, I guess, look, I don't know how long the contract with NBCSN is, or if that can roll directly into the app as well.
It will. There will no longer be an NBC Sports network. I don't know what they're going to do with it, or what they're going to do with the programming on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to watch hockey without like the center ice package or whatever, or DirecTV or what have you, you need the Peacock app.
Interesting.
That makes sense. I mean, it's still an NBC property that's just going into their giant app, and it makes total sense. WWE, not so much, but
I suppose that's their call. It's weird.
Yeah.
All right. We'll follow that story up.
We sure will.
Beer Money 323, my fellow BMs, was retweeted by OTF, by Gorilla Monsoon 2020, by Luna Doodle.
What?
By Cole. And by the Canadian Intent.
Jesus Christ. Thank you, Cole.
These are at OTF_squared. At Modern Monsoon. At Luna Doodle 2020. At CM Cole 82. Or CMCOLE 82, as you like. And at Psychofish 77.
Yes.
Now, this week, this time around, it's you who didn't retweet.
Not yet.
Not yet. No, we're getting there. I remember seeing it, but you did it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not there yet.
All right.
More Cole. It's a very Cole-heavy episode. Damn it. I knew he was going to do it. At MDWDFW, at Beer Money Pod. We are breaking the Mikey curse this year. Hashtag go Avs go.
Indeed. Sharky tweets hockey. Who is that Sharky Hockey? I haven't gotten to the episode that dropped today. That will happen after the at Edmonton Oilers play tonight. However,
what?
I think at Beer Money Pod needs a full at John Durham breakdown of the at NWHL season that is kicking off tomorrow.
Whoops.
I believe we already gave that full breakdown.
Yep, it broke down.
It done broke down. Hashtag Cherokee tweets hockey. Hashtag let's go Oilers. Hashtag women's BM. Lady BM.
Excellent. More Sharky. Mikko Koskinen, or Koskinen, as he likes to be called, has started every game his season. Okay. I know Mike Smith is hurt, but God damn it all, I don't want this season to hinge in Mikko not being Mikko. Hashtag Let's Go Oilers. Hashtag Sharky Tweets Hockey. At Edmonton Oilers. At Beer Money Pod.
Sure. That's a concern for everybody.
Yep.
Yeah, it's too late in the evening to get into conversations.
No, but I will say, Mikey did say at least the Avalanche. Okay, he said at least they ain't got COVID.
The Avs, yes.
Not yet.
Not yet. It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Sharky tweets hockey again. Apparently teams have figured out that you can full ice press the Edmonton Oilers on their power play and keep them from getting any semblance of a shot off. Seems like something the coaches ought to fix. Hashtag let's go Oilers. Hashtag Sharky tweets hockey at Bear Omni Pod. I'm sure.
From Mikey and DF Dub, who can be found on the Twitters at MDWDFDub. At Beer Money Pod, the LeClaire age tweet was absolutely tremendous.
Yes.
Not wrong. More Sharky.
Yes. While watching
the
at Mountain Oilers last night, Mrs. Sharkey commented that the announcer sounded like they were saying make beliefs instead of Maple Leafs. Knew the App Beer Money Pod crew would get a kick out of that. Hashtag Sharkey tweets hockey. We did.
Yes. Well done.
Yes. Well.
Yes. WRT, the everything moving to the Peacock app. This Sharkey says, this will have an obvious impact on the NHL TV landscape as well as a possible one on the WWE. Article says, NBC would move NHL broadcasts to networks like USA, putting Wednesday Night Hockey directly conflict with NXT and USA.
Oh, directly conflict?
Directly conflict.
Wow, I didn't realize that. It's
the worst kind of conflict you can get. Yeah. It's the worst kind. Beer Money 323, retweeting by Debrica Pops, me, and Michael Collins.
Yeah.
At TechShark 300, at Fasolomon 75, at PanicFan 68. Thank you all.
And then Sharky tweets hockey, says, does the at MDWDFW care strike again? Listen and find out, as he quote tweets the show.
Yes.
Debrica Pops sends us a thing from Nathan W. Pyle that says, a cool combo sport would be hockey, but eventually water polo, where they keep turning the temperature up throughout the game.
It's good. I like that.
That's not a new tweet, but it's a good one.
Yep.
What do you think of these new Washington W Star sweaters?
I like it.
Do you?
I didn't want to like it, yeah, but I kind of like it.
I don't like
it. I know. I know you don't.
It's not for me.
Do you want to read my tweet?
I do. NHL on NBC Sports said the at Capitals new third jerseys are 100 underline underline hashtag all caps. And you said, are they 100? Also, I like that Smoley is now a hashtag.
When I see that emoji, I think, okay, somebody needs to cap 100.
Well, it's small caps.
Yeah.
Not all caps, small caps. That would be Ben Smoley. I think that's his kids now.
Yes. If not, it is now.
Hmm. Yeah, three lines is all caps.
Right.
That emoji was used by Larry Wilfong.
Who?
Will Moore, not Wilfong.
Oh. Who?
Yeah. When he took over after The Daily Show. He took Colbert's...
Oh, that guy. Okay. Yes.
And that show was fucking atrocious. And he had little stickers or some shit made up that he would throw at people that were this emoji. And he would say that people were keeping it 100. And I...
When did he turn into Keith Kincaid? Then.
I don't know what it means now. I don't like it.
No.
I'm as old as John LeClaire. According to Cole, Mikko has 6 goals in 6 straight games. Well, that's according to the Colorado Avalanches. Cole says 6 goals in 6 is pretty good, right, at Beer Money Pod? So apparently Cole is very happy with Mikko being Mikko. Sharky not yes. happy with Mikko being
Not Mikko. So much.
We have right. a tale of two Mikkos. That's what we have.
Right. Speaking of tale, JD sends us this from Cooter's Beard, which is probably the best handle in the history of Twitter.
Diarrhea Volcano.
Yes.
That's the ceiling.
That is the ceiling. The ceiling is the roof. I will never not see this, and it's the new sweater logo. The legs wrapped around a pole, and there are dollar bills tucked into a G-string. You know, I've never seen this, and now I will never not see this. This is tremendous. I love it.
It's not bad.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Cole says, okay, watching Jones and Dubnyk getting absolutely torched tonight, I'm thinking I might have been generous saying San Jose made good additions to goaltending.
Yeah.
He did recant and say that perhaps Minnesota is that team.
Yes.
But they're out with a COVID. And I have absolutely no idea who's playing goal in Minnesota.
A new guy whose name I forgot. There's like double K going on there. There's some alliteration. I forgot his name though. It's like Kapo Kaskinen.
It's Kapo Kaskinen. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We had fun with that one when they were playing the Sharks. Neat. Yes. Beer Baron sends us something from the Penguins about Jim Rutherford. Jim Rutherford has resigned as general manager of the Pittsburgh Penguins, citing personal reasons. Patrick Alvin The team's assistant general manager has been promoted to interim GM, and the search for a new GM will begin immediately. JR says, personal reasons. Maybe he was at the Capitol insurrection.
And maybe. It's a legitimate possibility.
Yes.
That's the craziness about everything right now.
Sure. We can't say with 100% certainty that he wasn't.
No. Well, I can't.
I can't either. Okay.
JD's got a draft preview. Mikey says Kale McCarr might be good at defense.
Do you really go out on a limb by saying McCarr is good? I mean, come on, Mikey.
Cole, what are the dream series for at Avalanche as asked on at Beer Money Pod by at John Drew? One, as predicted, the Canes. What? Two best Twitter follows in the league. That's the sentence. I can't do anything about it. Apparently,
This is the first time seeing this. Is a fresh read.
So Canes versus Avs because they're the two best Twitter followers.
Okay, there you go.
Two, Oilers to get McDavid versus MacKinnon.
Yeah, we got that.
Three, Red Wings for the historical Western Conference rivalry. All right.
Okay.
Mikey sends us a deal from Addison Walton, who's at Addison Walton, as I expect. For sale on Mercari. I don't know what that is. For $250. Yeah, Freddie Mercari. So glad Brett Hull's goal counted. Hashtag go stars. At Phil Hecken. At UniWatch. This is a 1999 Stanley Cup Champions Buffalo Sabres hat.
Ooch.
Mm-hmm.
Ow. Yeah. Sharky sends us a gif.
David makes that guy look silly, makes those three guys look silly, and then makes that goalie look silly.
Oh, for Christ's sakes. Yeah, McDavid went coast to coast like butter and toast. I
don't know.
I'll tell you what, I like that sweater. That's what really stood out to me.
Okay.
That's a nice looking sweater. I like that.
It looks like a combination of the Montreal sweater.
It looks like Team Canada.
And the Tampa Bay creamsicle, the Buccaneers creamsicles. I find the orange to be offensive.
Wait, that's orange? I thought that was red. Really?
No, it's orange.
I thought it was red. That's why I was saying Team Canada. Oh, well.
No, okay. It's like a way too bright, way too washed out orange.
Yeah, you know, I have no need for any orange and blue in my life.
So just the way the colors are styled on the shoulders, that looks like a Montreal jersey to me.
Sweater. Thank you.
I'm not a fan. Oh, lots of scrolling. This is good.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. We're almost hitting February. Okay. Cole sends us something from the NHL Public Relations. Most regular season overtime points NHL history. 37, Ovi and Patrick Eliash. 35, Crosby and Yager. Cole asks, did you expect to see Eliash on this list? At Fasolin 75 at Beer Money Pod. And you responded with an Elias, or no, you responded with, I thought this tweet was a hashtag Royal Rumble 2021 spoiler. I'd be surprised to see Elias on that list too. And then Cole responded with an Elias gif.
Yes.
To answer Cole's question, yes. In a word, yes.
Well, yeah.
But given how many times the new sweaters were in the playoffs and how many rounds there were, yeah, I mean, he's gonna have some... regular season. Oh, regular shit. Regular
season overtime points, yeah.
Wow. I'm doubly surprised.
There you go.
I had no idea. I didn't even think he was in the top 50.
Speaking of overtime points, there was one night within the past week where... a bunch of games went to overtime. In a span of 12 minutes, Crosby, Ovechkin, and McDavid all scored overtime goals.
I heard about that, yeah.
And that's just superstars being super.
Yep.
Absolutely love to see it.
Like, it's great to have new talent and different talent and everything, but it's also really, really nice to see the guys who are supposed to do it get out there and do it.
Yes.
Cole sends us a thing from Sean Tierney, who is at Charting Hockey. Says, this game is so fun. This is the Sabres of Buffalo scoring... the Sweaters of New Jersey? Yes.
Yes. The Sweaters of New Sweater.
Yes. They scored a goal on Buffalo with 0.9 seconds left in the second period.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, I closed all of my Twitter.
All right, Sharky tweets hockey. 8 seconds in, at Oilers, hashtag Let's Go Oilers, hashtag Sharky Tweets Hockey, at Beer Money Pod. Then a subsequent tweet, 1-0, 8 seconds in. No Miko in net, or not Miko in net, don't know the guy's name, but the odds of an at Edmonton Oilers win just doubled. Hashtag Let's Go Oilers, hashtag Sharky Tweets Hockey, at Beer Money Pod.
It was either Stuart Skinner.
Ooh.
Or Troy Grosnick.
Wow.
Either is possible.
JD sends us something from Prashant Iyer.
Sure.
Since October 29th, 2019, the Red Wings are 0-26-4 in games where the goaltender of record was not Jonathan Bernier. JD sends us the Burgundy I'm Not Even Mad gif.
Which is just ideal for that situation.
Oh, yeah.
That is nicely gift.
Yep.
Sharky says, apparently Steve Kern.
Kern?
Is the at Edmonton Oilers starting G tonight. He's been a fabulous one tonight. Hashtag Sharky tweets out. Let's go Oilers at Beer Money Pod.
Why is that capped? Is
what?
Fabulous one.
Because Steve Kern was a wrestler in the tag team.
What? Hang on. How did you get those two names of...
That was Google's
fault. Gross Dick and the other one.
Steve Kern here. Nope. Not coming up.
Okay. All right.
So I don't know what's happening.
All right. More Sharky. Also, it's 5-1 with 6 minutes to go in the first. Ottawa has already pulled their starting goalie. Legit question, can they put him back in if the backup sucks worse? Yes.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, I mean, you can mix and match as much as you want.
It actually not often happens, but it does happen that a goalie will be pulled. Like, if he lets in three early, they pull him, just sit him down until the end of the first period, and he'll come back out and start the second and play the rest of the game. It's basically just come out and calm down.
But he's saying, like, in the actual period, though, can you pull the goalie, put in the backup goalie, and then pull the backup goalie and put him back in the starting goalie in the same period?
You can do a mid-fucking shift.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. This game was insane. Draisaitl and McDavid combined for 11 points.
Fuck, I saw that.
Yeah.
I'm like, now who's the motherfucker who has... Oh, that's... Okay, he has McDavid, and then Haji has fucking Draisaitl.
And I think McDavid, at the time, was first in scoring. Draisaitl was second. I don't remember who's third. Marner's fourth.
Was it Pavelski?
Might have been.
He fucking went off.
He's having a good year. JD sends us a thing from Man Sit Cho Ass Down. At Angry Man TV. In 1986, Eldon Pokey Reddick became the first NHL player to take the ice with a jerry curl. Hashtag Black History Month. And it wasn't until I saw the hockey card pictured on the left that I realized I had that card when I was a child.
Of course you did.
Pokey fucking Reddick. That's a name I've not heard in many years.
Did you have that hair?
I did not.
Mm.
I never did have a jerry curl.
Mm.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, I think so. You sent us something from the NHL.
Did I?
It was at this time that he knew, ellipsis, Cale Makar is unreal. And it's a gif. You said, sit down.
Have you watched this?
Whoop. Yes, I have. Oh, God. That's unfair.
Whoop.
Yep.
It's so much fun. And then there was another one I saw of him just doing other silly things, like just making people look ridiculous.
Yes.
And then 2 hours ago, Avalanche game postponed Thursday after Minnesota Wild have COVID outbreak. Cole says, not too mad about a postponement while McKinnon and others are injured. I referenced this earlier. Hopefully a few guys are back by the weekend.
Narrator, but they wouldn't be back.
Probably. Oh, no. Why is Gritty is posing nude?
Jesus Christ. That's probably the best way to end this show.
That guy is painting him like one of his French girls.
Gritannic?
Ah, there you go.
Thank you. All right.
Unnecessary.
Incredibly.
All right, indeed. It is 11:01 here on the Eastern time zone. On the Eastern time zone.
On the zone. Actually, on the zone. It's 11:01.
I am on the zone tonight.
Right. All right. From all of us here at Beer Money Pod, I am Ozone.
I am, like, naked gritty, I guess.
Keep your head up, Andrew. Stick on this.
Seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow.